Lagos and beyond. It's good to be here once again.
Yeah, it's good to have you here once again. It's always good to have you here to dissect issues. This last 1 hour, we'll be looking at permutations. We've done this before, and we'll do it again right now to look at permutations for the elections, February 25 elections, to be very precise. Okay. Now, Ufoma, I'm sure you must have been following up on trends here and there, projections here and there. First and foremost is, let's start with polls. What are your thoughts about polls? So this is why I'm asking these questions, right? I've seen quite a number of people doubt the sincerity or the efficacy of polls because of some connections that they've drawn out between the owners or the administrators of the polls and some candidates and all of that. So tell me, talk to me, what's your own response to these polls that we're seeing everywhere?
Well, Sheriff, to be honest, I think that the polls tell us, you know, a story about what to expect in the presidential elections. However, the polls, in my thoughts, do not tell all of the story. If you look at some of these polls that have come up, let's take a look at the NOI poll that popped up, you know, a couple of weeks ago. They talked about the fact that Peter Obi of the Labour Party has got about, I think, 27% of the votes, and then trickled down to Bola Tinubu of the APC before Atiku Abubakar of the PDP. You know, these are arguably the three front runners. Never mind the fact that the NNPP candidate Rabiu Kwankwanso is going to do a lot well, but you know, will be in a particular region. We'll come to that subsequently. However, if you also critically look at the polls, there's a huge percentage where they say people did not give their preference. They refused to talk, or they did not want to say. If you look at the NOI polls, I think it's about between 45 and 50% of their respondents. Now, if between 45 to 50% of people tell you, let's say you talk to 5,000 people, and about between 2,000 and 2,500 persons tell you, oh no, we're not going to tell you who we will vote, or no, we're keeping it in our chest, or no, we're not sure even if we're going to come out and vote on that day, it tells you that that's not the total picture. Now, there are a couple of persons who are supporting some presidential candidates, but have refused to come out openly to say it. Now, some of these persons most likely are supporting either the APC or the PDP. Those who support the Labour Party candidate Peter Obi, they are almost vociferous with their
support.
They are so you know, open with their support. But a lot of persons who support the APC, you know, are like closet supporters. Some would argue, or some would say, that there's been a lot of quote-unquote bullying, you know, especially on social media, or some are not so confident of their support, because we all know that in the last 8 years, the ruling All Progressives Congress haven't really done particularly well. Yes, there are a couple of areas you give them kudos and credit, but the critical area of the economy, we're still suffering some of their very not so great policy decisions. We're still having issues with the Naira swap policy that is ongoing as we speak. There's the issue of security, you know. So when you put these things side by side, you know, and you ask someone, who are you supporting? The person is not so, even if the person wants to vote to the APC, he's not so confident to tell you, because he knows that you will start asking questions. Something they worry you. You know, they see all the bad things. So they, do you understand? So that tells me that from the NOI polls to the STIRS polls that came, I think it was last week, you know, there's a huge number of their percentage that says people, people who did not respond, to give the exact figure. That number is too huge for me, you know, to now give the overall picture to say, oh, candidate A is going to be the overall winner, or candidate B.
Let's talk about the chances of these candidates one after the other. We're going to begin with Labour Party, as Peter Obi. From what you've seen, from the trends that you've monitored, stories that you've covered, those that you've analyzed, How do you see this panning out, you know, for the Labour Party? And let me add this, that the Labour Party had their campaign, they wrap up their presidential campaign here in Lagos over the weekend, and we saw how that turned out as well, even though opinions are sharply divided as to how it turned out eventually anyways. But tell me about Labour Party's chances in the forthcoming election.
Sheriff, the Labour, I think first of all, we have to give kudos to Peter Obi and the Labour Party for what they've been able to do in the space of 7 months. Before 2015, we all know that there was only one party that could win general elections when it comes to being president of the country, the People's Democratic Party. They are the only, and I dare say, even in 2023, the one truly national party that is spread across all 774 local government areas, all wards and all areas of the country. Reason being that from inception in 1998, the caliber of people, you know, who chased away the former military head of state, Abacha, you know, and then, well, he died. Necessarily that he chased him away, you know, but they were in active politics at the time. You know, by the time he died and Abdul Salami took over, these persons were the crux of the persons that formed the PDP, and they were G34, as he used to call them, led by the former Vice President Alex Ekwueme. You know, so they had that national spread, and that's why, if you remember, in the build up to elections, the PDP will tell you we will rule for 60 years because they know that they are the only party who has that national spread. The other parties, whether it is APP that changed into AMPP that broke out to form CPC, or the AD that moved from AD to ACN that now joined with CPC to form APC, or the ABGA, all these other parties were mostly regional. Even the APC, even till today in 2023, that they are the ruling party and they've ruled for 8 years. I can boldly tell you here that the APC is truly not a national party. Yes, they've got spread across all 36 states. Yes, they've got pockets of in these states, but the underlying factor in the APC still tells you that it's mostly the ACN from the southwest and the CPC, you know, from the north. That still run the affairs in the APC. Yes, they've got the likes of Hope Uzodinma in Imo State. We all know how that came about. They've got the likes of the Deputy Senate President Omar Agege in Delta State. You know, they've got pockets of individuals in all the other states. But look critically, in the southeast and the south-south zones, APC is still, you know, quote-unquote, let me not say paper party, but not as strong as the PDP has been over the last years. Now, putting that into context, I think that the Labour Party in the last 7 months, since Peter Obi decamped from the PDP to join them, has done an absolutely amazing job, you know, trying to get people on their side. What are their chances? Sadly, I can't sit here now and tell you that this is Party A who is going to win this election or Party B, because I think that the election is too close to call. The Labour Party, for me, has got great chances, especially in urban centres. In places where you have mid-educated, upward mobile moving young Nigerians, I think they will do well. For example, if you go to Sokoto, for example, the state capital, Sokoto, you most likely think that you have those kind of persons there. If you go to a place like Benue, Makurdi, even though the LP has done great in Benue, but so Benue might not necessarily be a great example to use. I'm trying to think of a state, let's say Oshun, for example. You most likely get most Labour Party voters in the capital, Oshogbo. But when you go to the hinterlands, when you go to those villages that possibly do not have internet, or possibly do not have access to radio, or possibly do not have DSTV in their homes, that for me is the areas I think that the Labour Party would, you know, have some little issues. But that's not to say that they themselves know.
Okay.
Peter Obi and Co, they know. There's something I've been People have criticized him for doing it, but I think it's a smart move. Here's what he's tried to do. If you go up north, what he's tried to do is, when he visits those states, apart from the capital, he goes to areas he believes or thinks that he's got tendency to win. Example, Gombe. Now, a lot of persons do not know that up north, not every northern state is Muslim dominated.
True.
You know, there are a lot of northern states that have maybe not almost equal proportion, but something close. Yeah. Gombe South, for example, is mainly dominated by the Christian folks. You have about 40% Christians in Gombe. Same thing in Adamawa. In fact, in Taraba, you have over 70%.
Taraba is more.
Exactly. Yeah. You have in, you know, so what Peter Obi has tried
in Plateau,
to do, exactly, Plateau, Benue. What Peter Obi has tried to do is go to these areas that ideally the traditional Nigerian politician does not go to. You know, I heard him the other day talking about how he was told by the military not to go to Borno South, you know, where he had lots of terrorist issues, but he went. Now, not a lot of the traditional Nigerian politicians, the APC and the PDP people, like going to these places. Because here could be the reason. To a large extent, the Muslim Christian North, the northern part of the Christian communities in the North, to a large extent, do not like to vote. Do not come out to vote. So that's why it feels like their Muslim brothers dominate them. Is that going to change in 2023? We don't know. But the Labour Party and Peter Obi has tried to reach out to these communities that traditionally Nigerian politicians don't go. Sheriff, if those communities come out to vote, then the Labour Party has a great chance. Whether they win or not, I can't
see. It's another story entirely, because we can't really say. Now, let's talk about the APC briefly. Their chances. What's been working for them? What's not been working for them?
Whether we want to accept it or not, the All Progressive Congress is a major force in this election. Irrespective of how they have fared in governance in the last 8 years or almost 8 years. They're still a force. Reason being that elections in Nigeria, and I dare say all over the world, you know, are really not based or judged on what exactly you can do. You've heard politicians talk about manifesto, you know, and all of that. For the average Nigerian voter, out of, I don't have stats to back this up, but out of every 10 voters, I would think there's just one, or possibly one in 100, you know, that really looks at issues. You know, most times the biggest election decider in Nigeria is ethnicity and tribalism. Where does the candidate come from? You know, after that, you talk about religion.
Religion.
And after that, most likely, the next thing will be vote buying, which is why there's been so much conversation about vote buying. The APC is the APC presidential candidate, I dare say, has the largest, warehouse of funds for this election. I don't even need to know his bank account. Tell me.
There's arguments based on that, because people will tell you that the PDP candidate will probably even change APC candidates' money. I mean, that's their argument. Because I've even seen video of one of the daughters of the PDP candidate. Audio now of one of the daughters saying something like, "Daddy has money," meaning Atiku. If it's money that wins election, Daddy would have won election.
Both the APC and the PDP have money. They have more than the Labour Party. In fact, the Labour Party doesn't even come close at all.
Doesn't.
If money is going to be the deciding factor, Labour Party don't lose. If money will be the deciding factor. But the reason I was talking about the APC, let's use Nigeria Info as a good example. Over the last 3-4 months, whose advert have you been hearing repeatedly on Nigeria Info as opposed to the others? It's the APCs. That's money. If you don't have money to do that, you won't be able to do it. Compare that to Atiku's jingles or
Peter Obi's
jingle. In fact, Peter Obi's jingle just started coming in about a month ago.
That's right.
But we've been hearing, in fact, at the time he started playing, there were insinuations that it was Nigerian.
Like, we just like him so much that exactly. We just want to play his.
You know, not knowing that Omo, now who bring money, bring jingle, we go play. Do you understand?
Yeah.
That for me alone tells you the kind of war chest that these guys have. But yes, I agree with you that the PDP candidate also has money. But I wouldn't sit here and tell you that he actually has more than the APC. Let's also not forget that the APC is the ruling party. Let's also not forget that there are about 22 states or so that the APC have governors. And a lot of these governors are backing their presidential candidate, Bola Ahmed Tinubu. So if it's money, apart from Tinubu's money, there are at least 20 state governors who are ready to back.
That will willingly.
Do you understand? The PDP doesn't have as much. The Labour Party doesn't even have a governor. You know, so that tells you that for me, these three factors, tribalism, ethnicity, religion, and vote buying will come into play. Looking at it critically, for tribalism or ethnicity, the APC candidate is from the Southwest. He's Yoruba. The PDP candidate is Fulani. He's from the North. To a large extent, I remember when we discussed this during the primaries last year, I told you that my sadness for the 2023 election is the fact that it's going to go take us back to the 60s and the 70s, where the three major tribes played, you know, that regional politics. And we've been seeing it over the last 1 year, whether we want to accept it or not. There are 1,001 people who will vote the APC candidate simply because he's Yoruba. Whether he is good or not, they don't care.
It's another thing.
Same way, there are 1,001 people who are supporting the Labour Party candidate simply because he is Igbo. No two ways about it. There are also 1,001 persons who will support or who will vote the PDP candidate, Atiku Abubakar, just simply because he's Fulani. Remember that one of the reasons the PDP allegedly threw open their
ticket
was that they came to the realization that we are in opposition. If we want to beat the APC, the ruling party, we have to take this our ticket to the North. That was, see, whether they come out openly and say it or not, that was the thinking. They also knew that if they threw it open, there's the chances of a Southerner getting that ticket, irrespective of how far Wike tried,
right,
was very, very hard. That was what Peter Obi saw and decided that, you know what,
he just
I can't do this because I can't win. So he left. So coming back to the APC, religion, big factor. That is the singular reason Bola Ahmed Tinubu picked Shettima, a Muslim. We all know that traditionally in Nigeria, you balance religion.
That's right.
If it's a presidential candidate that's a Muslim, you pick your vice as
a Christian.
That's what Buhari did. In fact, Bola Tinubu was supposed to be the VP candidate for Buhari, if you believe most of the reports. But he knew, but they knew at the time that if they picked Tinubu, it was going to be disaster for them. You know, that's why they picked a pastor from the Redeemed Christian Church of God to sort of balance that religious ticket. But Bola Tinubu in 2023 knows that he is up against, he knew already, most of us knew already that Tiku was going to get the PDP ticket. So for Bola Tinubu in the APC, one thing to sort of see if he could cut the votes of the PDP up not in terms of religion was to pick a Muslim candidate. Now his calculation is, well, there's going to be a lot of shouting or hullabaloo in the southern part, which we saw, but in the real case of the politics itself, I'm going to get the numbers there. And that's why you've seen him going in several campaigns, trying to recite a section or some part of the Quran. He's doing that to be able to
bring people in.
I honestly think that if the APC, irrespective of how they
will that work for them or work against them?
It will work for them up north. It will work against them down south. I've repeatedly said this. It's only in the Southwest. The Southwest Yorubas are the most religiously tolerant persons in Nigeria. In the Southwest, you can have a family where the father is a Christian, the mother is a Muslim. On Friday, the children go to mosque. On Sunday, they go to church. They don't care. It's not an issue. I'm sorry, it doesn't happen that way in the Southeast.
But you said something. I need to butt in here. You said something earlier about Northern Christians as well. You said that it's not going to work. It's going to work for them in the North.
For Muslims. That's why I said.
How about the Christians?
I think a large percentage of the Northern Christians, if they come out to vote, will not vote the APC. They won't vote the APC. I think that if, like I've told you before, they usually don't come out to vote.
Mm-hmm.
If they do, they will most likely not vote the APC. A large chunk of them will choose between the devil and the DWC, which is Atiku or Peter Obi.
Just so we're clear, this election, as you've said earlier, is not going to be decided by party affiliations. It's going to be decided by religious leanings, tribal leanings.
Vote buying. Yep, to a large extent.
Oh, okay.
I'll come back to that.
Okay. We're going to head out. Let's take this break, Lagos, huh? We'll be back. Stay with us, please.
Round the clock will bring the news,
sports,
events,
talk, and even more talk.
Crisis averted in aviation sector.
The conversation, your views and suggestions.
We talk on Nigeria Info.
There is a huge difference between the relative experience of salary earners and those of business owners and entrepreneurs. Someone who has never had cause to set up a business of his, who has never had cause to source for funds, turn it around, pay salaries, pay back the loan, and still make profit, cannot be expected to be hands-on.
He's right here in the studio, and we're talking about the permutations for the elections. That is about, 12 days away.
Yep.
Yeah. Which means that we are less than 2 weeks to the elections. I mean, that's, I just want the elections to just come already. Let's get this.
I am tired.
Over and done with.
T-A-Y-A-D. That's my own spelling. I am tired. Ika Wolam. Make a speaky bojo. I'm tired. You should just come and go, man. Hopefully, it doesn't go to a runoff. Hopefully.
Yeah. Before we go into the third main candidate on the show this morning, let's quickly open up the telephone lines and get your thought on the first two that Ufoma has analyzed. We'll get one or two or three calls, then we'll move on to talk about Atiku's chances, PDP's chances in the elections. Okay, and please make it short and straight to the point so we can get to other calls faster. Thank you. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yes, please, turn off your radio, please. Yes, please.
I'm Jason, I'm calling from Ireland.
You're welcome, sir.
But one thing you should know is this. The last election, Buhari, if an APC was not on ground, why? Because this time, because I'm from Imo State, they are PDP. But this time, because Atiku denied them that presidency. You know, we can't do APC. So APC is going to gain more votes.
In the east.
South-east now.
Okay.
Coming to South also. Okay. And when you go to North also, you know, North, they don't play with religion. And that's why Bola Ahmed Tinubu, you know what to do. Without it, he can't win in the North. And here he's pulling weight in the North. I think it's time more chance to win. This man, because of his past experience, he's a man that has capacity.
Okay.
He's a team player.
Thank you for your thought. I know that you want to campaign, it's okay. But I really don't have time for that. Jonathan is here. Jonathan, hi. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Well, Ufoma, I really appreciate your analysis. All your analysis are correct. Those, all the strategies as far each party that you have outlined, they are very, very correct. What will save APC is this. The kind of thing that happened that Abacha died that year, remember? Everywhere he erupted. That's the only thing that will happen. I will not let APC. But for paper right now, this is not the best chances. Anyway, I hope we'll have a safe election. And all this, it's not like somebody called this morning, security agencies, should be up and doing. This election, I'm looking at it, I don't want to be a doomsayer, but they need to be up and doing. Any iota of Ojoro or anything, something's going to happen.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let's take one more call, then we come to the third.
Hello.
Candidate. Good morning to you. Please turn off
your
radio.
Good morning.
Turn off your radio.
Yeah, as regards to your analysis, it's okay. But I want to chip in to you people there. What is the work of the Ministry of Labor and Productivity that they cannot arrest any company toiling with Nigeria's citizens' lives? Not paying salary. Is it not your duty to fire a letter today through a lawyer?
I really want to go into that, but we've ended that conversation at 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock. We moved on to another topic now. I'm guessing that you haven't listened in the last 30 minutes or more. That was the conversation we had on World Radio Day and radio stations owing people salaries. And we've switched gears now into politics and the elections. Thank you so much for calling, though. Appreciate it. Let's move on to the third candidate because we still have other areas to touch on.
Sheriff, just before that, just to react to the caller who said, you know, the people have actually moved in the southeast.
Oh, well, yes.
I don't think that's entirely true.
Okay.
People have, I would say, have moved from the PDP to the Labour Party, not the APC in the southeast.
He's looking at it from the fact that Satis now has APC governor.
Sheriff, again, I would say this consistently. You and I know that Hope Uzodinma did not, on the day of the ballot, win the governorship election in Imo State. He came fourth. He's only governor because the Supreme Court says so, and there's nothing you can do about that. I can beat my chest and tell you that all things being equal, the next governorship election in Imo State, Hope Uzodinma will most likely lose. That it's not even in doubt, but let's leave that conversation. Let's move to the People's Democratic Party. Sheriff, I think that of all the parties for this election, the PDP has the brightest chance of winning.
Oh, really?
Okay. Here's why I say so.
Tell me.
Remember what I said from the get-go when I said that the PDP is the only truly national party that has spread all across the zones. That's one, and that's a big factor for them. So if you go to the remotest of villages in Borno State, you will get PDP. If you go to Sokoto, you will get PDP. If you go to Cross River, you will get PDP. If you go to Ekpe, you will still get PDP, irrespective of the fact that the APC has been ruling this state since 1999. Now, but here's also another factor. Remember I told you ethnicity and tribalism will play a huge role.
That's right.
A lot of the voters that voted Buhari in his APP days, AMPP days, CPC days in 2011, and APC in 2015, a lot of those voters in the north are already shifting to the PDP. They are not shifting to the PDP because Atiku is the best candidate. They are not shifting to the PDP because they like Atiku. One of the major reasons they are shifting is because is from their tribe, their brother. Religion would also play another role, like I told you. It's the singular reason the APC decided to field a Muslim candidate to counter
the religion factor
for
the PDP.
Somehow, Atiku is really not regarded as a core Muslim. Muslim northerner. He is seen as, you know, the same way the average northern Muslim sees the southern Muslim. That's how some look at Atiku. They believe he's too cosmopolitan. It might make him lose a few votes in the north, but it will gain him votes in the south. Now, here's why I think that he's got the best chance.
Okay.
In the areas where Atiku does not win, for example, the PDP will lose Lagos State. It's It's so clear. If the PDP does not know that, then I'm sorry for them because they've probably been blind. 2015. You see the margin close.
Very close.
In 2019, the margin dropped because there was vote apathy. People were tired after 4 years of Buhari. Mm. So a lot of 140,000 votes. See the margin again.
Mm-hmm.
Very. However, in 2023, a majority of those PDP votes have or will switch to the Labour Party. In Lagos. I'm talking Lagos now.
In Lagos, okay.
Here's the reason. The majority of the people who usually vote PDP Southeastern Tribe.
And they too will follow Tribe.
It's as simple as that. A lot of them will follow Tribe. Remember that when Peter Obi came to Lagos on Saturday, the first place he visited was where?
Alaba.
Alaba International Market. It was strategic. He knows that that's the area that has a lot of the people that will come out to vote for him. Those voters are traditionally PDP voters. Traditionally. That's why almost since 1999, the ACN or the AD or the APC, whatever nomenclature they have come with, they've almost never won elections in that Ojo local government axis or the Badagry axis. Almost never. You see the Isolo, Sele, Surule axis. That's another area that has a huge formerly PDP voters, but in 2023, I think we'll go the Labour Party way. So I think in Lagos, it's going to be APC winning and the Labour Party sort of close, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I can't say for loses. They will most likely come second or a close third. For example, I don't think the PDP will win Kano. For example, I don't think they'll win Kano. Kano will give you at least 1.5 million votes. But I don't think PDP will win Kano. Most likely, Rabiu Kwakwanso of the NNPP will win Kano. He will be followed closely with most likely the APC candidate Bola Tinubu. But Atiku of the PDP will come, if he doesn't finish second, will come a close third, such that the margin will not be huge. If Atiku does not win Sokoto, which I think he would, but even if he doesn't, the margin of victory between the APC or the NNPP, who will most likely win Sokoto, and the PDP, who will come second or third, will not
be much.
If you go to the southeast, where most likely Peter Obi will win all five southeast states, most likely, it might not happen, but I'm saying most likely, if and when Peter Obi wins those five southeast states, sheriff, the person or the party that will come second will most likely be Atiku and the PDP. In the southwest states, where
there's almost a no-show for APC in the southeast.
Almost a no-show. What the APC will try to do, which is what they tried to do in 2015 and 2019, is just to get the required 25%. That's what they will try to do. But look at the margin. And like we said, traditionally that's a PDP state. Now, because of a son of the soil, in Peter Obi coming out in the Labour Party, it will switch it. But I'm saying that even when the Labour Party wins those states or wins some states in the South, the PDP will come not so distant second. That national spread of winning some states in the North or coming second in those areas, for example, Plateau, Benue, those North Central states, most likely Nasarawa. I think the APC will win Niger, I think. But you see Plateau, you see Benue, you see Nasarawa.
Taraba.
Taraba will be, these four states I just mentioned, would either be PDP, Labour Party, or Labour Party, PDP. Or even APC in the mix in some of these states. But all I'm saying is, the areas the PDP does not win, they will come.
They will get the numbers.
They will get second. When you now add all of these in all 36 states, if the election does not go to a runoff, as a result of the structure they've had since 1998, they've been in government for 16 years, they still have a lot of these political heavyweights across the country, that will play into their hands. I told you something off the mic, and I'm going to say it here. The Labour Party stands a chance because this election will be election of the youths. The ANEC chairman said it about 3 weeks ago when he went to the Chatham House. There's a reality show currently going on that ideally used to be the...
It trends every day.
Most people are not watching it. Most young people are not watching it. They are really concerned about this election. If they come out in numbers like I think they would, the Labour Party has a great chance. The only issue I have with them is those hinterlands. That's the only issue I have. But for the People's Democratic Party, if Peter Obi's name was Peter Obi Mohammed, if his name was not Peter Obi, if he was Peter Obi Mohammed from Niger State, this election is done and dusted. Bola Tinubu and Atiku Abubakar will not even come close. I'm not joking. If his name had a Mohammed by the side and he is from Niger State, reason, it goes back to what I told you from day one. The first thing Nigerian voters look at is where does the candidate come from? His ethnic region. And sadly, 50 plus years after the Civil War, Nigerians, I wrote a piece about it, you know, on Nigerian Info's website a few weeks ago. Nigerians have still not forgotten issues about the Civil War.
We've not healed.
There's still this side eye that some Nigerians, I'm not saying all, some Nigerians still have for persons from the Southeast region. In the 2019 general election, there was a fake news that was spread across the North. What was it? You remember that Peter Obi was the vice presidential candidate to Atiku in that election.
That's right.
One of the fake news that was spread in the North was that Peter Obi was the one that drove the vehicle for Kaduna and Zogu to go murder the Saldana of Sokoto in the 1966 coup. Peter Obi was about 2 or 3 years old.
How old was he then?
He was about 2 or 3 years old at the time. Or let's say he was less than 7, I think. I think he's 61 now. This thing happened about 52 years ago or so. So he was less than 7, 8 years old. But the rumor that was spread, and a lot of persons believed it in the North, was that he drove the vehicle that killed the Saldana of Sokoto, you know, at the time. That's why you see a lot of people. You saw the news from yesterday that about giving 2 billion naira to the Christian Association of Nigeria.
That's right.
These people know that these things hoodwink a lot of persons, so they will keep selling that narrative.
Indeed. Ufama, let me take a few more calls. Sadly, we don't have that time because I really want us to touch on the last part. I mean, we've discussed religion, we've discussed ethnicity. The last part, which is, of course, vote buying, very, very integral. I mean, the role vote buying will play. In fact, let's talk about it. There is this talk about vote buying. The current government made it a point of their conversation lately about wanting vote buying to decide who comes out as Nigeria's next president. And so they've come up with this policy that's killing everybody. Will vote buying be one of the deciding factors of this election, or we're done with it? We can't experience that anymore.
Sadly, Sheriff, as sad as it is, vote buying will still play a huge role. Nigerians are poor. There's poverty in the land. People don't have money. Even the ones that have money self right
they want
now,
more.
You know, are even unable to get it. Do you understand? So you are not going. Our politicians are wicked. There's no way to beat about them. They are wicked.
They will do anything and everything.
They know that people are poor. They know that there's poverty in the land. So they're weaponizing this poverty to the greatest degree. So far, it helps them. That's why you would see bags of rice, being shared. You know, that's why you see...
Their handbag. You see, two packs of noodles.
One
pack of spaghetti.
See.
Yes,
there are still, because of enlightenment, people have also decided that, you know what, I will take your money, but I will not vote for you. There are some persons like that. But tell that to the average man in the village who who 3,000 naira right now is like 3 million naira for him. Sheriff, you're a big man. You're sitting,
you're sitting in an air-conditioned studio
in the Nigeria Info studio here. 3,000 really doesn't mean much to you. But I can tell you that 3,000 naira somewhere in Isukwato in Imo State means a lot to somebody in that village. Means a lot to somebody in Chibok in Borno South. You know, so sadly, vote buying will still be an issue in this election.
This policy now, will it have an impact on that? I mean, do you see these having significant impact? Even if it doesn't eliminate it, will it be reduced?
Yes.
Or it will be business as usual?
No, it won't be business as usual. It will be reduced.
But there is a court hearing that would start in 2 days' time.
Yep. So the why do you think the Naira policy has even turned political? Mm-hmm. It's turned political.
Mm-hmm.
APC and the likes on one hand are saying no, stop it. Notice that the PDP and the Labour Party are for it, irrespective of the fact that it's hurting people, but they understand also the fact that it will hurt the APC more because whether you like it or lump it, one of the big strategy from the ruling party is vote buying. We've seen it in previous elections. It's not even, let's not even mince words about it. And I have no apologies for saying it as it is. One of the strategies of the APC is vote buying. That's why if you watch their campaigns, they've been trying to take themselves away from some of the policies of the president.
Current government.
Tinubu is going to Imo State and Cross River State, and he's criticizing some of President Buhari's policies. And you're asking yourself, are you not a member of that party? The APC knows that if it is about policies and what infrastructure, all the things they've done over the last 8 years, Nigerians will most likely send them packing the same way they sent the PDP packing in 2015. So that's why you've seen, on one hand, Tinubu will come out and say, oh, we're going to continue the good work of the president. In the same fold, he's in another arena telling you how, oh, the Naira policy is not good. Oh, this is not great. Oh, they moved dollar rate from 200 to 600. Who moved it? Is it that moved it?
Ufoma, definitely we'll have more conversations as we get closer and closer to the elections. And we have our Mandate 23 studios open for election day as well. That studio live coverage will start at 5 a.m. on election day, and we're going to do it for 2 days. But you hear more about the election coverage on Nigeria Info much later on. But Ufoma, thank you so much for coming on the show.
It's been my pleasure.
This morning, it's always a great pleasure to have you. Ufoma is social media. You're there.
Yep. Social media, most active on Twitter at Foskolo. That's my nickname, actually. Foskolo. Foskolo. On Instagram, same name, but with an underscore. That's Foskolo underscore.
Underscore.
Yep.
All right. Thank you again for coming. I'm Sharif Quadri. I'll be back on the radio tomorrow morning for Tuesday's edition of the Morning Crossfire. And thank you all for being a part of today's extended version of the Crossfire. You can find me on social media at Sharif Quadri across all social media platforms. What's Up Lagos is next with Marianne and the team.
Marianne Dikoko Nakman.
Bye for now.
Are you ready to 99.3 Nigeria Info? We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.